What do pastors feed God's flock? Feel-good messages, entertaining messages, comfortable messages, maybe a little poetry mixed with a dash of psychology, a heavy sprinkling of politics, and the pastor's personal opinion. We don't do that here.
Why do you run from me? I just don't understand. I'm reaching out for you. You won't take my hand.
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn.
It's always great to have you tuning in to Love Never Fails. The message today is titled, When the Chief Shepherd Appears, from the Epistle of 1 Peter. Now let's join Pastor Bill.
This morning as we look, we have 13 verses that are left in our study in 1 Peter. We're only going to cover four. And the reason that I didn't want to finish is that so many times when we get to the end of a chapter, sometimes we just kind of rush through it. These four verses are paramount, and we have to remember that they were written to the Jewish believers, of course, and there were Gentile believers as well, but they were scattered abroad over the five provinces of the Roman Empire. And now, remember the fiery trial, not a fiery trial from last Sunday, a specific fiery trial has happened. And we know who that is and what it is. It's Nero. And now it's a bloodbath that's occurring. And so the scriptures that are before us are very, very important. With the beginning of the specific fiery trial, okay, this began, if you study out church history, the first of the 10 persecutions from the Roman emperors against the church, okay? And it ended about 312, I believe it is, with Constantine, who declared that Christianity would now be the state religion. But Nero is a madman, and that's what is happening in our text here this morning. Eusebius, who was, I believe, the bishop of Caesarea, but he's also known as being the father of church history, he records for us what Nero did. Let me just give you just one sentence. He says, he writes, Nero's rage against Christians was so fierce that cities were full of dead bodies. Young men, old men, totally unclothed, women who had been killed all naked, and they filled the streets of the cities. Man, listen, it was a bad time. It was a dangerous time, not only to be a Christian, but can you imagine being a pastor of a church? Do you think that Nero would like to get rid of you quickly? Absolutely. Now listen very carefully. You know, we know that it says in 4:17 from last Sunday. In 4:17, you know, the Lord told us through Peter, he said that judgment must begin at the house of God. Now, that judgment has to do with the persecution under Nero, and that keeps advancing through the centuries there, okay? However, what I want you to see, if judgment is coming, if judgment was coming to this church right now, do you think we should prepare? Okay, now that's exactly why Peter is writing to the pastors of the local churches, or the house churches, I should say. But I want you to get the right kind of picture of this, because listen, I cannot imagine me, Mario, here we are, and all of a sudden we realize that people want to kill us, our government wants to kill us. God ever forbid that ever occurred. I can't imagine after all these years, I mean the babies that have been born here, the weddings, the teens, over 3 decades in this building. Loved one, listen to me. If I saw your son being wrapped in a skin, animal that had just been skinned so the blood is still fresh and thrown to the wild beast in the Colosseum, how does a pastor even endure that? How does a sheep endure that? When you see those that you've known, all of a sudden they're dragged out of maybe their homes and they are crucified. And then they are in Nero's rose garden, but they're tarred. And then at night they're lit up so they can have light for their banqueting. Now that is what they were experiencing. Thank God we're not, amen? But 2,000 years ago, that's what they were experiencing. And so that's why I want to make sure we look at it from the historical perspective to truly understand these scriptures. And so with all of that being said, Peter now is going to do something. He is going to address those who care for the flock of God. You know, flock is Jesus' favorite description of the church. Amen. And so here, the Bible tells us in Psalm 103, it says, we are his people. We're the sheep of his pasture. So here we are, the church suffering persecution, and Christians are being martyred, as we know. And so here's what Peter does. He gives us now 7 points in our text, if you will, what the pastors must do, not only to prepare the sheep, but to protect the sheep and watch over them, because they are going to suffer for Christ's sake, okay? And that means that they have to have strong leadership in times of persecution, extra strong leadership in the times of persecution and suffering. They can't be a hireling, amen? You know, a hireling, that just means a hired hand. Let me give you the scripture, what Jesus said about that in John 10:11. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, a hired hand, he who is not the shepherd, who is one who does not own the sheep, and he sees the wolf coming, or you could say he sees Nero coming, and leaves the sheep, and he runs, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. And the hireling, he runs because he's a hireling, because he doesn't care about the sheep. A pastor should never be a hireling, amen? There are 3 words that I want to familiarize yourself with before we begin verse 1. And these words, there's 3 words in particular. And in the Greek, all of these 3 words that I'm going to give you, they all pertain to the same spiritual office, and that is the office of pastor. And the first one is going to be presbyteros, and that's the word you'll see in verse 1 throughout in a minute. And that is the word elders, okay? It means a spiritually mature man, a presbyteros, okay? Now, what church is named from that? Presbyterians. Well, you're a well-taught church. Now, the next one is shepherd or pastor, and that Greek word is pomino. And then the next one, we have the word overseers, which is the word in Greek episkopos. We get our word telescope, okay, meaning to oversee, to watch over the flock of God. It's episkopos, overseers. Now, Jesus in chapter 2 of Peter, I think it's verse 25, he is called the shepherd and the overseer of our souls. Aren't you glad? He's always watching out for us. Amen. Now, let me give you a scripture where these 3 Greek terms are used from Acts chapter 20, verse 17, before we start our study. It says, from Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus, and he called for the presbyteros, the elders of the church. And he said to them in Acts 20, verse 28, therefore take heed to yourselves and all the flock, among whom the Holy Spirit, not man, not seminaries, not Bible colleges or universities, whom the Holy Spirit has made you episkopos, or overseers. And then he says, shepherd, or pormino, shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. So with those 3 words in mind, all referring to the same office, which is pastor, let's begin our study this morning, beginning in verse 1. He writes to these pastors and he says, the elders who are among you, I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that we will be revealed. You know what I love about Peter? It's Peter the pastor writing to pastors. And if you ever, you know, if you're a pastor, you're listening live right now, you know how it is when we go to a pastor's conference? We talk. Pastors understand pastors. I mean, we talk about what wonderful sheep we have. You know, we really do. Because, see, we love the sheep. Amen? But, you know, so it's pastor to pastor. He's writing. Those that are overseeing, now again, they're not overseeing the church in good times. They're overseeing the church in times of unbelievable suffering and persecution and martyrdom that's happening. And so he writes and he says, okay, to all those elders, the presbyteros, you older spiritually mature pastors, listen to me now. He says, I exhort you. Parakaleo, I exhort you. I come alongside of you. I support you. I love you. I comfort you. I want to give you strength and help you in any way I can. And here's what I love about Peter. Did Peter say, this is Peter the apostle. He says, he doesn't say, hey, I'm Peter the water walker. He doesn't say, do you know that my shadow healed people? He doesn't say, I'm an apostle again, which is the highest position in the church of the living God. He doesn't do any of those things. He didn't even say, listen, you know what? I mean, Jesus and I, we were buds and all of the rest of it. He didn't do any of those things. And he didn't say, you know what Jesus promised me? You know who I really am? You remember what Jesus promised the 12 disciples? Let me read it to you from Matthew 19:28. Jesus said to Peter, the disciples, assuredly, I say to you, in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on the 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Think of that. He didn't even say where his name would be in Revelation 21. I think it's 4 or 14. Remember, on that big stone there in heaven. No, I love Peter here. You know, Peter does something. He says to the pastors, he says, pastors, listen, I'm a sheep just like you're a sheep. I'm just a fellow elder. I'm just one of you. He didn't exalt himself. Isn't that wonderful? Pastors should never do that. He didn't exalt himself. You know, Peter, was Peter the one who denied the Lord three times? Yes. You see, Peter here is old. Matter of fact, he's about to be martyred by Nero. Tradition says he was crucified upside down. You see, he knows what humility is. When we get over into verse 5, next Sunday, the Lord willing, he tells all of us to be clothed with humility. And to be clothed with humility is to be clothed with Christ, because Christ is the perfect example of true humility. Amen? Philippians 2:5, let this attitude be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So here, Peter is so humble. Never exalt man. Never exalt people in the church. There's only one person that deserves it. His name is Jesus Christ. Amen. Who loves us, who died for us, and he might even come today for us. Amen. Yes. So he says also, he says, and I was a witness of the sufferings, plural, of Christ. So Peter, he witnessed so many things. He traveled with the Lord for 3.5 years. I mean, he witnessed the ascension of our Lord. He was there with the Lord when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, even though he was sleeping. Remember, Jesus said, can you not tarry and watch with me for 1 hour? But they were sleeping over there, not because they were tired, but because they were so sorrowful, because Jesus is going to go to the cross. And he had told them that. And there, what Jesus, as he's praying in the garden, it says that his sweat became like great drops of blood, and they fell to the ground. Peter, he witnessed all of those things. Did Peter witness the arrest of the Lord? Yes. Did he cut off the ear of Malchus's servant? Malchus, or whatever his name was, the high priest's servant? Whacked that thing right off, man. Jesus had to pick it up and put it back on. He witnessed Judas betraying our Lord with a kiss. He saw the soldiers. Remember when Peter denied him? He was warming his hands there at the fire of the rooster crowed and all that. And the Roman soldier had the first beating that Jesus endured. And he was walking across the portico. And when the rooster crowed, did Jesus look directly at Peter? Yes. And did Peter see his face because he was beaten so badly? He witnessed all of those things. But listen carefully now. That's not what Peter is saying here. And that's why it's important to study your Bible. The word witness here is not referring to the act of seeing. It's referring to the act of testifying by obedience to God what he had seen. Let me give you the scripture there. Whenever he was preaching, remember in the house of Cornelius? It says in Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, the Holy Spirit power, went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And here it comes. And Peter says, and we were witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree, whom God raised up the third day and showed him openly. But we are also witnesses chosen before by God. So that's what it means. He's saying, I am an official witness. I am called by God to testify to you what I have seen out of obedience. Now, he also is something else. Look right here. He says, I'm a partaker. And let me think. You know what? Something just came to my mind. Let me ask you a question. Are we a witness? Acts 1:8. Amen. We're endued with power from upon high. The Holy Spirit comes upon us for us to be what? Witnesses, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. We're his witnesses too. Now, let's go to the partaker. He says, I'm also a partaker. That word is koinonia. Remember our cafe, the Koinonia Cafe? It's a place where we share together, we fellowship together, we have all things in common together. And he's saying here, I'm a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Now, Peter experienced a partial if you will, glimpse of the glory of the Lord. But he himself, he never participated in it. Remember in Matthew's gospel, I think it's chapter 17, verses 1 through 8, the transfiguration of Christ, James and John and Peter, they're there. And all of a sudden, it says that Jesus' face, it shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And then Moses and Elijah appeared and started speaking to Jesus. Now, let me ask you a question. How did Peter know that it was Moses and Elijah? Name tags, you know. You know, you go to church, they give you, never mind. So, and they started talking to Jesus, our Lord, during the transfiguration. Plus a voice came from heaven, from God the Father. This is my beloved son, whom I'm well pleased, hear ye him. But what did Moses and Elijah, what were they speaking to Jesus about? If I'm not mistaken, Luke's gospel, maybe chapter 9, or I can't remember, but they were talking about Jesus' departure, that he was going to Jerusalem, he was going to die and suffer. Do you understand? So here, the book of Peter, the epistle of Peter, is all about suffering, isn't it? 17 times suffering is mentioned. But after suffering comes the glory. And that's what was being mentioned here. Remember last Sunday from chapter 4, verse 12 of Peter? He said this, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you." And they did think it was strange, remember? "As though something strange happened to you." But here it comes. "But rejoice," or keep on rejoicing, "to the degree that you partake," there's that word, "you share in," koinonia, "you partake of the Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy." Now, remember, they were not rejoicing because they were suffering. They were rejoicing because they were counted worthy to partake of the sufferings of Christ. Now, listen very carefully. I'm going to ask all of you two questions. They're not meant to offend you, but to challenge you, okay? Let me ask you these questions. Number one, what instructions would you give pastors in that day leading the church through the Neronian persecution, the suffering and the trials that they were going through, martyrdom and so forth? And you may say, "Well, Bill, I don't know. I've never experienced that." Okay, let me ask you question number two. It says, what instructions would you give pastors leading the church through a worldwide pandemic called COVID? Oh, the sheep gave me a lot of advice. But let me tell you what the reason I said that is because God knows how to get you through anything. If you know the Word of God, believe the Word of God, and act upon the Word of God. Amen? Now, so what happens? Peter now is going to give us 7 points that a pastor must do when he shepherds the church, prepares the church for those that are going to suffer for Christ, which could mean death, okay? Now, and these 4 verses that we have, they haven't changed for 2,000 years. They're just as relevant right this minute as they were 2,000 years ago in verse 2. He says this, Peter says to all the pastors, he says, "Shepherd the flock of God which is among you." Now listen carefully. This is aorist imperative in the Greek, which means it is the number one most important thing to do. It is the top priority, and it even speaks of urgency in that tense of the Greek, okay? In other words, you've got to do this right now. You've got to feed your sheep. You've got to take care of them right this very minute. So the word shepherd, as we know, it means feed. Pastors feed the sheep, they tend the sheep, they take care of them, they guide them, and they protect and watch over them. And would you say that's a natural or supernatural task? It is supernatural, loved one. And it says there to shepherd or feed the flock of God. That means that you're not my flock. You're my brothers and you're my sisters. Amen. We are all sheep of his pasture. Amen. But pastors are to do something. This is they feed the flock, but that means they're God's. And I only feed God's purchased people. That's who you are. That's who I am. Acts 20:28. We've been purchased with God's own blood. Amen? That's what it says. Now, there isn't a time, no matter if it's a good time or a bad time, suffering, persecution, there is not one day in your life from birth to death, Christian, meaning the new birth to death, there's not a day that you do not need the living Word of God. You need it no matter what you're going through, especially then. Can you imagine there? I mean, you talk about they would have to be in great unity, wouldn't they? I mean, think of that. I mean, they don't know which way to go. What house can we hide in? I mean, think of what they were going through. And think how the pastor, what he was faced with. I mean, this was a terrible time. And so pastors, what do pastors feed God's flock? Feel-good messages. Oh, come on. How about entertaining messages? How about comfortable messages? No? Well, how about this? I'm going to have to do it because I wrote this down. I thought it was good. How about these messages, maybe a little poetry mixed with a dash of psychology, a heavy sprinkling of politics, and the pastor's personal opinion? We don't do that here. Now, I want to ask you another question. Will that kind of teaching equip you to go through anything in this life, especially persecution or suffering? Absolutely not. You know why? Those are all sand sermons. They're not sermons from the rock. Remember Jesus? He said, you're going to either build your house on the rock or you're going to build it on sand. Amen? Only the house built on rock, which are these sayings of Jesus, are going to stand. And so that's very, very important, loved one. And sheep, if you're going to be fed, you have to be fed not just some of the Word of God, but Paul the Apostle said, all the counsel of God. Amen? You need all of it. If you don't, you'll never grow spiritually. You'll never really know the will of God. And you will spiritually starve to death. You cannot live on junk food sermons. It just doesn't work, all right? You need the Word of God. And listen, after all these years, what has this pastor done? I have taken you to 66 pastures where you have eaten from the 66 books of the Bible. Amen? And we've done that many times. And so that's what we are to do. Why? Because the Word of God is the only place that we can be equipped. Let me give you the scripture. You know it well, 2 Timothy 3:16. For all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, teaching what is right, teaching to what you need. Also, it's profitable for reproof. That means what's not right, or for correction, how to stay right. And it says also instruction or training in righteousness, how to live right, how to please God, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So if you're not know the Word of God, you're not complete. You're not thoroughly equipped for every good work. You must know the Word of God. What did Jesus tell us? When he was in the temptation scene, the devil was tempting him in Matthew 4:4, he said, it is written, or it stands written, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. Amen? So every shepherd, they should be not only feed the flock, but they should fish. In other words, for the lost. Amen? That's what pastors do. Look at the next one now. Peter tells the pastors, he says, serving as episkopos. In other words, as the overseers. So shepherds, what do they do? Especially then, they had to. They watched over the sheep. They were taking the oversight of the flock. Now listen, let's keep it in context again, because I don't want you to lose that thought. I mean, this is deeper than John 5:14 and 15. If anyone's sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church. Man, listen, these pastors were overseers of the sheep, little ones, little children, and wives, and husbands, and families in those local house churches that were suffering horrible, horrible persecution. They were losing sheep every day in martyrdom. I can't even imagine what that must be like. But I do know this, the Word of God teaches that sheep need a shepherd. Amen? It also teaches us that sheep flock together. They're not isolated. A sheep can't find its way home. Hello? You let one sheep get out there, they don't know how to get back. And sheep are so timid, they're so frightened. You can put a little bunny rabbit in the midst of a sheep and he jumped, and you know what would happen? They would scatter, couldn't find their way back. Only the shepherd can get them back home. Read Psalm 23 and you'll see what I'm talking about. So with all that being said, you know, sheep, if you flock together, then you need to also come together in the church because we are the flock of God. Amen? Now, this is the only place we're going to be equipped. The Bible says when Jesus ascended, remember he gave gifts unto men? It says in Ephesians 4:11, and Jesus himself, it says, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastor teachers. That's one word, not two. Pastor teachers. Why did he do that? Number one, to equip the saints. Equip them for what? For the work of ministry and the edifying of the body of Christ.
Pastor Bill will be back tomorrow to finish out the week with the conclusion to today's message, and we look forward to seeing you once again. We appreciate you listening along with us today. Until next time, may the Lord bless you. Good day, everyone. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.